If you'd like to find your place in Psalms 119, Psalms 119, we'll begin reading in verse 105, 105, and the title of the message is The Snares of Life. We have an adversary, and he's always setting snares for us to fall into. And may the Lord help us not to do that. And with God's help here on the Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon message, we'll be talking about a man named Jehoshaphat and see how his life went forth doing well at first and then fell for the snare of the wicked. And if you'd find your place in Psalms 119, we'll begin in verse 105. And while you're finding your place, I'd like to remind those that are listening by way of internet that we have our VBS coming up, it'll be June 21st through the 25th, and we'll be teaching the children about our extraordinary Savior that had an extraordinary gift that He offers to all those that will receive Him by faith. And our wonderful Savior did many wonderful things for us, and the most wonderful is that He died on the cross, that He was buried and He rose again for our justification. And He wants all people to come to repentance and trust in Him as their Savior. So be praying for that, June 21st through the 25th. But also, if you're going to be in our area here in Myrtle Beach and you'd like for your children to be under sound teaching from the Word of God and sound Christian music, then we'd love to have you. And so Psalms 119. And verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep Thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to Thy word. Accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget Thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from Thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes always, even unto the end. Oh, we need to beware of becoming too comfortable in this life as Christians. Hey, there's been many a Christian who started well, who started on fire for God, where the Word of God was a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. And just like the psalmist said in verse 106 here, they sworn it, they performed it, they kept the Lord's righteous judgments for a while. But then they got comfortable in this life. The psalmist does well to live as it's written in verse 109. It says, My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget Thy law. What does that mean, that his soul was continually in his hand? That means he's conscious of the dangers that are all around. He didn't want to let his guard down as he wanted to live for the Lord. You know, David didn't mess up. He didn't mess up with Bathsheba until he became comfortable at home. David was supposed to be at the battle. Oh, had he been at the battle, then he would not have let his guard down. You see, we're in a battle, and the battle is raging, and the battle does not take a break. The battle does not go on vacation, and the battle does not retire. Hey, the Apostle Paul came to the end of his life, and he said that he fought a good fight. He kept the faith. Oh, but how many other Christians will not have that testimony? The psalmist said in verse 112, I have inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes, and underline these words, always. There's never a time where we cannot perform His statutes. There's never a time when our heart cannot be inclined to do His will and to keep His word. He says, always, even unto the end. Well, I think about old Demas. Demas got comfortable in this world. Oh, Demas got out to fight. Oh, he started off well. Hey, he started off right. He started off on fire with God, with the right people, doing the right thing, preaching the right message. Oh, but then for some reason, he got comfortable and he got out to fight. And so did many others. Hey, let me tell you something. You can be sitting in a church pew today and not be in the fight. So why should we live like the psalmist says in verse 109? My soul is continually in my hand. Why should we live as conscious of the wiles of the devil, always being aware that we're in a battle, oh, and that we're in danger from the enemy, conscious of the fact that we are involved in a spiritual warfare? Well, the first answer is this. The Lord has commanded us to. Hey, we're in a spiritual battle and danger is all around and we need to be on guard. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Hey, there's never a time that we should take off the armor. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hey, that right there ought to be enough to scare any Christian, or at least to make every Christian aware that he ought to live continually with his life as his life was in his hand. There is a battle going on that never takes a break. Hey, that's why we ought to live being conscious of what's going on in our lives. The second answer to that question is found in verse 110. Why should my soul be continually in my hand, conscious of the battle that's going on? Hey, the answer in verse 110 says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me." Here's answer number two. Hey, wearing the armor of God is not always going to be comfortable. But let me tell you something, for your spiritual survival and mine, it's necessary that we keep it on. Oh, if we want to see souls saved, then we must not become comfortable in our Christian life. Hey, there's never a time to take the gloves off, if you would. Why? Because the wicked have laid a snare for you and me. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Here we have an example of the snares of life and how that the wicked, the adversary, is so patient. Oh, he's willing to wait years for a seed to start growing there, and then it become a snare in someone's life. We find this story in 2 Chronicles 17. Here we have the story of Jehoshaphat. We have the example of someone who got too comfortable in his walk with God, and he wound up compromising his fundamental beliefs. He wound up stepping down from where he once was. In 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 1, we're going to read the whole chapter so that we can get the story here. "And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Benhail and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and to Nethaneel and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shimei and Nathaniah and Zebadiah and Asahel and Shimeroth and Jehonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishamah and Jehoram priest. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amaziah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bow and shield 200,000. And next him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 ready prepared for the war. These waited on the king beside those whom the king put in fenced cities throughout all Judah. Hey, from the very beginning, we see this young man, Jehoshaphat. He's on fire for the Lord. Hey, verse 1, it says that he strengthened himself against Israel. Hey, what does that mean? He strengthened himself against Baal worshipers. He wasn't going to have nothing to do with Israel, because Israel was not toward God. Their heart wasn't toward God. Their heart was toward idols. And he said, I'm going to strengthen myself against Israel. He recognized who the enemy was. He recognized that there was an adversary that was contrary to God, and he recognized that enemy, and he prepared himself accordingly. The Bible says that he walked after David, and he sought the Lord to keep his commandments. Hey, it sounds a lot like Psalms 119 that we just read. Jehoshaphat surrounded himself with godly men. Oh, we read that, men of valor, and God was blessing everything that he was doing. You'd think that Jehoshaphat was on his way to outshine David. Oh, and everyone that ever come before him. Oh, but there's another chapter. Hey, there's always another chapter. And Jehoshaphat, oh, he got comfortable. And the enemy never backed off. Oh, at the beginning of his reign, he fortified the cities. He made sure that he fortified and strengthened himself against the enemy, against anybody who had compromised on the word of God. Oh, and there he was strong at the beginning. Oh, but the problem is he became comfortable. But the enemy never backed down. In 2 Chronicles 18... things are going to turn for the worse. Jehoshaphat's prosperity. Oh, the devil is going to use that as a snare in his life. 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1. It says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Oh, and mark these words. And joined affinity with Ahab. Oh, how things have changed from chapter 17 to chapter 18. Oh, how did it change? Oh, how did Jehoshaphat go from building walled and fenced cities and putting all these things in place and strengthening himself against those Baal worshipers? And now in chapter 18, he's made affinity with the Baal worshiper, with the leader of the Baal worshipers. Oh, what happened? Jehoshaphat got comfortable. Oh, he should have took a scroll back through the Psalms. He should have took a scroll back down through Psalms 119 and verses 109 and put that in practice in his life. Oh, my soul was continually in my hand. You see, he didn't see the threat anymore. He didn't recognize the enemy anymore. He got comfortable in his Christian walk. Oh, yet do I not forget thy law. He should have remembered that. Verse 110 in Psalms 119 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me. He ought to have seen it coming. He ought to have known that making affinity with Ahab was a snare from the enemy. The psalmist said, yet I err not from thy precepts. Oh, what took place in his heart that he didn't recognize the enemy anymore. Oh, but what took place in his heart over the years only became manifest years later. He got to the point where he didn't recognize the enemy. Oh, in chapter 17, Jehoshaphat's fortifying his kingdom against all those that opposed the Lord. He put up walled cities. He surrounded himself with godly people, with godly men, men of valor. Oh, the blessings of the Lord were flowing in his life. Oh, but the enemy comes at Jehoshaphat in a way that he had not prepared himself for. You see, the enemy did not attack his kingdom. Had he attacked the kingdom, he would have been ready for that. But the enemy came after his heart. Back in chapter 17 in verse 6, it says, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Oh, and there was a point in his life where he was on fire for God. The only thing that mattered was being separate from the world and dedicated and following the Lord. But now, his heart is not lifted up in the ways of the Lord. His heart is lifted up in pride. Jehoshaphat became comfortable in his abundance. Everything's going good. So you know what happened? He let his guard down. Proverbs 4:23 says to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jehoshaphat, he put up fenced cities. He surrounded himself physically with mighty men of valor, men that given themselves to the Lord's service. But he didn't protect his heart. He was doing so good, but he became comfortable in his walk. He no longer recognized the threat. He no longer saw himself as needing to fortify himself against Ahab. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Oh, mark these words. And after certain years. See, it didn't happen like overnight. The adversary's patient. He went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, and this is such a sad statement right here. Oh, Jehoshaphat says, I am as thou art. Whew. He's come a long way. And then not only that, he says, and my people as thy people. And we will be with thee in war. The very people that he had prepared himself against. The very people that he had built fortified cities. And a separation was made between he and them. He even set godly men around him between he and them. But now he says, I am as thou art. Ahab, the enemy. You see, he didn't come in as a lion, but he came in as a serpent. Ahab's sheep and oxen. Think about that. They're found more suitable and more effective than Ahab's men of war. Had Ahab declared war against Jehoshaphat, had Ahab lined up his armies and set them in array to come up against Jehoshaphat, then Jehoshaphat would have been ready for that. Jehoshaphat's kingdom was fortified against Ahab's hostilities, but his heart was open to Ahab's allurements. He should have never been there. Just like David should have never been at the palace when he should have been on the battlefield. Hey, I just want to run to Jehoshaphat. I just want to run up to him and say, hey, Jehoshaphat, run. Hey, go get behind those fenced cities. Hey, don't you listen to Ahab. Let's pick it up in verse 4 of chapter 18. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Hey, look, Jehoshaphat already knew. He already knew the word of the Lord. Hey, he should have never made affinity with Ahab. He should have never let his heart be lifted up in pride. Oh, he should have never let himself get comfortable. Oh, the enemy had already infiltrated Jehoshaphat, and he got to his heart. Oh, verse 4, boy, that sounds religious. That sounds like a religious request. He said, hey, let's inquire of the Lord about all this. He's already given himself to Ahab. I am as thou art, and my people are with thee. And then he says, hey, let's ask the Lord. Let's just make this kind of official. Let's go through a routine. Let's just go through a little ceremony here. Oh, that sounds religious, but it's not. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it unto the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? And underline this word, besides. We'll get to that in the message in the afternoon there, that we might inquire of him. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah. Right here is a prime example of why we don't work with those who do not believe like we do. Hey, we do not work with those who claim to be religious but do not hold to the same biblical truths as we do. Hey, Jehoshaphat should have stuck with his independent, fundamental beliefs. Jehoshaphat says he wanted to hear from the Lord. Oh, but if that was true, he would have never been where he was. Oh, he was in the wrong place. He was in the wrong people and justified being there because it was a religious deed. 2 Chronicles 18:9. It says, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes. Oh, and listen to this. Underline these words. And they sat in a void place. Whew. A void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Oh, then they're going to call Micaiah the real man of God. Hey, the one who hadn't bent his knee. You notice they had to call him to come. He hadn't presented himself. He wasn't in the wrong place. He wasn't hanging out around the wrong people. No, he was still looking to the Lord. And he was still wanting to do what was right and keep the commandments of God. They had to call for him to come. And the true man of God. And you know what he's going to do? Oh, Micaiah. Hey, he's going to come in and he's going to set them up. You know what's interesting? As we read this story, even Ahab could recognize a lie. Look in verse 12 of chapter 18. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Oh, they're in one accord. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, Even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And listen to this. This is where even Ahab could spot a lie. And the king said to him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Oh, all that the 400 had said, all that Zedekiah had said was nothing but lies. Yet Ahab and Jehoshaphat were just going along with it. Oh, take note of this. Don't miss it. Just because it sounds good to you, just because it agrees with you, it does not mean that it comes from God. How many Christians have fallen for the, it feels right. It just feels right. It feels good to be in this place. Oh, let's make affinity with the world in the name of religion. Oh, it just feels good. Oh, there's a big crowd over there. Hey, there were 400 men that were prophesying. Oh, listen, the majority agreed. They were in one assent. They were in one accord. Then surely, hey, if 400's over there doing that, it's got to be right. It's got to be of God. Oh, you better be careful. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 18 says, Again, he said, Therefore hear the word of the Lord. He said, I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and says, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he says, I will go out, and underline these words, and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, all 400 of them. I'll be a lying spirit there. And the Lord said, Thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Oh, Jehoshaphat, after hearing all this, is going to ignore the word of the Lord. Oh, he should have gotten his chariot, and he should have hightailed it back to his camps and his fenced cities. Oh, he should have left then. Oh, but thank God there's mercy with the Lord. Let's look in verse 31. Hey, they're going to go into battle. Things are going to get hot for Jehoshaphat. In verse 31 it says, And it came to pass that when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, It is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. Ahab will die just like the Lord said he would, but Jehoshaphat will return in peace. Look at chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. All Psalms 119 and verse 110 says, The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Hey, let me tell you today, if you've erred from the precepts of God, then I urge you, just like Jehoshaphat, to call out unto the Lord, and he will be merciful. Hey, Jehoshaphat had made a mess of his life. Oh, he had started off right. Oh, but now he's made a mess of his life. He'd become comfortable in his spiritual battle and his spiritual walk with the Lord. He'd followed the ways of Ahab, the ways of the world. But God has commanded us to put on the whole armor of God, and to stand and withstand the evil day. Oh, may the Lord help us to guard our hearts and not fall for the allurements of the enemy. Oh, over the past years, there's been many Christians. I'm talking about good Christians, many good preachers, many good evangelists who have shifted their stance when it comes to the things of God. They've fallen for the allurements of the enemy and the approbation of the crowd that they now hang out with. Hey, but thank God there's mercy with the Lord. Jehoshaphat came back to his independent and fundamental beliefs, and praise the Lord, he brought many back with him. Hey, will you stand? And having done all to stand, or are you going to get comfortable and fall for the allurements of the enemy? The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 111, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." Jehoshaphat, oh, he should have read Psalms 119. He should have applied it to his life. Oh, may the Lord help us not to fall for the allurements of the adversary. Oh, they had gathered in a religious setting, in a religious outing. They'd gathered to recover one of the city of refuges. Oh, but let me warn you, you cannot mix the world and the wrong message with the truth, because God will not bless it.